from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Hey, fantasy football owners, I'm Matt Harmon.
And what's cracking? I'm James Coe. Join us on Reception Perception as we dive deep into wide receivers, the position that will make or break your fantasy team.
Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We are back. We're at Living Treasures up here, Animal Park, in Donegal. And Matt, I hear there's a visitor, a different visitor coming that might alarm us a little bit.
Yeah, it's a scaly friend. She's pretty big, so.
I hear a 40-pound snake. Is that what I'm...
40 might be on the upper end. She's probably closer to like 36 to 37.
Okay, so we'll keep ourselves posted for the arrival of the big snake. In the meantime, we're going to talk to our good friend from the Post-Gazette, Mike White, who also is a part of our high school football coverage on KDKA AM. And Mike, if you were here sitting next to me, you would get a chance to hold a 40-pound snake.
No, Paul, you got that all wrong. If I saw that thing coming in, I would immediately leave the show and leave. I don't do snakes, garter snakes, any kind. Definitely afraid of them. If that thing came near me, I'd leave the show.
We had a little smaller snake. Here he is. There she is. But we had a little smaller snake out here earlier, and I survived it. Cause I feel the same as you. I'm not a big fan of snakes, but I'm trying.
Not a big fan. I can't even describe what I'm like. I tell you what, if I was doing that show and they brought it, I'd say no. Don't even bring it near me. I'm going off the air if you do.
Well, anyway, good thing for you is all you have to do is cover high school football. And don't
That's right. No snakes tonight at Montour, I hope.
So you're obviously a part of our coverage on KDKA. I know there are some big games that we have this weekend. But what are, you know, first of all, when you look at this season coming up, you know, this is your what? Probably 40th season of covering high school football, something like that?
You know, someone just asked me that the other day, and I sat down and figured it out. The first game I covered, I was working part-time. First game I covered for the Post-Gazette was a sophomore in college, dating myself back in 1981. So if you count that, this will be, what, 43, 44 years in covering games?
Wow, 43 years. So you've seen a lot of high school football. You know, Mike, has it changed over the time, the course of time? I know that we used to have a lot of, you know, a lot more Division I type guys, but at the end of the day, how has it changed over the course of those time?
Well, Paul, if you go back to when I was starting this in the 80s, I mean, it's not even comparable as far as number of Division I talent. Now, there were a lot more players back then. The population was bigger, but no, it's not anything like it used to be, even compared to 20 years ago. I mean, you know, I think we have 18 guys right now committed to FBS schools. We're going to have a few more probably. So it's probably nowadays a year in the 20s, low to mid-20s, that's probably average. But we used to have 30. Back in the 80s, we'd have 30 guys going to power conference schools or 25. Now we get 6, 7, 8, maybe 9 a year at the most. But, you know, as far as how it's changed, it's changed drastically. Just forget about the talent, Paul. You know, you asked that question, I'm just sitting here thinking, like, just the style of play. You know, you didn't have anybody pass for 2,000 yards during a regular season. You know, this was, I think, high school football everywhere, but especially in Western PA, it was a 3 yards and a cloud of dust, and you saw a lot of wing tees, you saw a lot of I formation, and just run, run, run. So the style has changed dramatically. Some of the other things have changed. I mean, you know, those games used to – I remember first, even when I went to high school, we had games starting – most of them started at 8 o'clock, and they were over usually by 10. Now they start at 7, and there's not a high school game now that – very, very rarely does it last less than 2.5 hours. You're looking a lot of times 3 hours by the time with all the passing and And that's okay. You know, more exciting. But those are some things. The style has changed drastically, offensively, I think. And you know, kids are bigger, definitely. That's changed, too. But even just time. So, and, you know, the other another big change, I mean, the City League is, oh, my gosh, not even comparable to what it was then. You know, even back then, the teams were playing on their own home fields and weren't good home fields. I think it's a good idea to play them all couples. But you had back in the 70s, you probably had, I think you had 12 or 13 City League schools still playing then. You know, Oliver and South Hills. And now you have five. And one of them doesn't even play. They play an independent schedule, Carrick. So, you know, it's, yeah, been a lot changed since I first started doing this. But it's still, you know, we did a quest for the best show with Hampton last night. There's just still something in the air special about Western Pennsylvania football and Friday, especially first Friday. And I've always said this for years. I love being in the school sometimes, just for a little bit, the day of a game, a home game, a Friday home game. There's just a feeling, especially the bigger schools. Just a feeling of, I don't know, kind of excitement. It's just kind of neat, and I still think that feeling is there today.
Well, some things don't change. Like, for instance, Aliquippa, I'm reading, it seems like they're going to be really good again this year. But they have a new coach, right? Did I see that correctly? His name? Mike Warfield, he stepped down at least for a year or stepped away or whatever. So, I mean, how might things be different?
Yeah, he said it was kind of surprising. Although, you know, I talked to him. He was thinking about it even the last year or two. He stepped away in July, not long before the regular season practices started. I don't know. He said it's just like a one-year, maybe he might come back. I don't see him coming back, Paul. Unless they fall flat in their face, which I don't think they're going to do. They have too much talent there, and with some of the new kids they have coming in. But they're going to be really good. But an interesting thing with them, and in football and all high school sports nowadays, especially football and basketball, because they were the first ones to do it. You know, Aliquippa has six transfers that are – a few of them are really high-profile guys. Like Larry Moon's one of the most heavily – probably most heavily recruited sophomore, WPIL, transferred from Central, another kid from Central, two kids from Central Valley. But three – one is ineligible for the regular season and the playoffs. The other six are eligible for the regular season but are not eligible for the playoffs. Under the PIA rule, if you transfer after your sophomore year, you're ineligible for the playoffs the next year unless you meet a few exceptions, and three of them did not meet the exceptions. So it's in you see this in basketball, Paul, kids. You know, you've got a kid that's definitely a starter, worthy of a starter, but – if you're a coach, you know he's not going to be around in the playoffs. Yeah, you're going to play him, but, you know, do you play him, you know, as much as you would if he was going to be there for the playoffs? You know what I mean? Like, I think that's a fine line. You got to figure out what to do because you got to get whoever his backup is ready. I think it's, you know, it puts another thing on some coaches when you have kids. And there's a number of them that transfer after their sophomore years. If you saw the list of people that transfer from WPIL to Rule 1, it's really long. So Aliquippa has to deal with that. But Sean Patrick has taken over. He played at Aliquippa, played at Kent State, been an assistant there. He's the guy Mike Warfield wanted to take over. And with the team they have, I'd be shocked if they don't go far again.
Well, I think that's going to be, you know, obviously always a storyline is Aliquippa. Are there some teams that are moving up or down in class that could, you know, upset sort of the equilibrium? I think Central Valley's moving down, right?
Yeah, Central Valley moved down. They're our game of the week tonight. They play at Montour. Central Valley moved down from 4 to 3. They were in 3, played the last couple years in 4. Bell Vernon's won the last two 3A state championships. They moved up, Paul, to 4A. They don't have Quentin Martin anymore. They lost some other guys, but I still think they're going to be pretty good. And I think it's one of the most interesting games of the year. Next week, the opener for both of those teams is Bell Vernon at Aliquippa. There's not very often you get two state champions playing each other in their first game of the year. I think that's pretty cool. It's a big game. And as far as moving, I think is interesting is Westinghouse. They lost in the state championship the last 2 years in 2A, lost to Southern Columbia, who's won 7 in a row. They moved down to 1A this year, Westinghouse did. Their coach and kids really did not want to, Paul. Pittsburgh Public Schools said, no, you should. We're going to move down. And they moved down because of their enrollment. It wasn't a choice of theirs. But they could have stayed up in 2 if they wanted. And they wanted to stay up to get another shot at Southern Columbia. That team, I was at their camp last week out in the middle of nowhere at Camp Conequi. They've got players, Paul. They were going to be really good no matter what, 2A or 1A. They lost one of their best players for the year, Keyshawn Robinson, one of the most highly recruited juniors in WPIL. He's out for the year with a hip injury, needs surgery, but they are going to be really good still. I would pick them right now to win single A, the state championship, but you got Fort Cherry, Clareton's good in WPIL, some other schools, so that's one of the storylines. You know what? I'm going to mention this one. This is one of my favorite storylines of the year. The coach at Bethlehem Center, Beth Center, their Class A school, I forget where Bentleyville is it? Anyway, their coach is Tony Rosito, Paul. He is 83 years old. 83. And he's still the head coach. I mean, you can't be president when you're 83. That's too old. But you can still be a high school football coach, right?
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Hey, fantasy football owners. The road to winning your fantasy football championship starts now. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive into the position that's going to make or break your fantasy roster. Wide receivers. We analyze route running, target share, and all the metrics that matter, giving you the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yes. I mean, has he been there for a long, long time, I'm assuming?
I think this is his fourth year. He has actually coached, I think, at 5 or 6 other schools over his time. He lives on a farm, kind of on a farm, still does farm work around the farm. He's in great shape. I saw him 2 years ago. I haven't seen him the last year or two. But, I give the guy a ton of credit. 83 years old, still coaching high school football. Who does that? That's
incredible, really, if you think about it. I mean, hope at 83 I have the energy to do anything like that.
Exactly. I'm here at 83.
Yeah, I'm 53, and some days I don't think I got the energy to do that. So you have this weekend. Is there one of these, like, showcase events with, like, a bunch of different teams playing at, like, the Wolverine or something?
You're doing it. The KDK is all over it. Five games at the Wolverine, Woodland Hills, 2 today, 3 tomorrow. And you know what, Paul, if you put these things on around here. Now, the Wolverine had an event about, 10 years ago maybe, called the Rally in the Valley. They brought up Lakeland High School from Florida, Steubenville from Ohio, some really good teams. I think they had, I don't know, 4 games maybe. But this might be the best as far as matchups go for an event. You know, you're talking tomorrow – Steel Valley's our number one team in 2A, playing Clareton, the number two team in 1A. Then you've got Central Catholic playing the St. Francis Academy from Maryland, who is always ranked among the top, you know, teams in the country, producing a ton of major college players. But I go back, still their most famous graduate from St. Francis, Paul, Angel Reese is from St. Francis in Maryland. So I'd say she's the most famous graduate. But anyway, go ahead.
No, I said, probably she would be. At least right now she is.
Yeah. They have some guys in the NFL right now, but they're not even in a league. They got kicked out of their league because teams wouldn't play them anymore because they were tired of them recruiting from everywhere. They bring kids in from there. They're kind of like an IMG. But Central Catholic, you know, they've got players too. That should be interesting. And then the last game is Beaver, they're my sleeper team this year at WPIL. They are a 3-8 team. They have almost all their starters back, a couple FCS recruits. They were 9-3 last year. They're playing Westinghouse, who, you know, hoping to maybe win a single-A state championship this year. I think that is a really, really interesting game. So if you're going to put an event together, I know Woodland Hills and Tymier Brown helped, you know, did this, and a lot of other people, Brian Tarrant, their coach, they've really put together a really, really nice matchup. A lot of times when they do these things, like Pine Richland played IMG Academy back, oh, I don't know, six years ago or so, but it always seems like they do it the wrong year for the WPIL teams. They're a year too late. I mean, I would have loved to have seen Phil Dracovich's Pine Richland team play IMG Academy, but he graduated the year before. So they've got teams this year. Central's good. You know, Westinghouse is good. Beaver's good. So they've got teams that are – this is the right year to bring these teams in.
Yeah, that's the thing. I assume that they won't have Bishop Sycamore at this event.
No. No, but what's interesting is, no Bishop Sycamore. You remember Bishop Sycamore had a couple teams. St. Francis Academy, North they're playing Central Catholic tomorrow. North right. Allegheny's playing St. Francis tonight. Same school, but they've got two teams.
Oh,
it's
wow.
Like their B team. It's like their B. They call it their regional team, I think. So St. Francis is playing two teams, but they're not the same team playing tonight and tomorrow.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's at least you won't have what was that guy's name? Roy, the coach from Bishop.
I don't remember, but that was I remember doing that story. That was they played Stowe Rocks. They played
right.
Stowe Rocks.
They played Stowe Rocks and lost, and everybody was kind of like, "Wait a minute! They lost to Stowe Rocks, but they're a national power."
And yeah, and then they were going to play somewhere else the next day, like in Florida or something.
Yeah, they played against IMG, didn't they? And that was
maybe that was it. And
yeah.
They didn't. They don't really even have a school.
Yeah, that was when the whole thing blew up, basically.
Yes. So no Bishop Sycamores this year. Although St. Francis is playing two times in 2 days, but not the same team.
Yeah, that's pretty funny. So we get started this week, and the last one for you, Mike, is the WPIL championships. Are they going to be the same? There's a couple of them at different high schools, and then
there's,
you know, four
there's
of them
a,
at the – yeah.
There's a slight change this year, Paul. A couple years ago, the 5A was at Acrisure. But it's been mostly at Norwin the past few years. But this year, and the 4A, 3A, 2A, 1A were at Acrisure. This year, the 6A and the 4A will be at Acrisure in mid-November. And the 5A, 3A, 2A, 1A will be – I'm sorry, did I say that? They will be at Norwin. The 6A and 4A will be at Norwin in mid-November. And the other four classes will be at Acrisure the following weekend. Explain it real fast. Everybody said, oh, can you do that? How can you do that? Well, the reason is this. The winner of 6A, and the brackets change all the time from the PIAA. The winner of the WPIL 6A and 4A enters the state playoffs in the quarterfinals, which start like the weekend of November 23rd. The other four classifications, the WPIL champ, enters the state playoffs in the semifinals. So 6A and 4A have to be done a week earlier. That's why they're not playing, and I'm sorry, WPIL isn't going to rent out Acrisure Stadium. It's really expensive twice. They
right.
did it one time, and they're going to rent it out twice for two games. So that's why they're at different sites.
Okay. Well, Mike, I know you're going to be very busy the next many Friday nights, so thank you. Hopefully we'll do this again, and you know, thank you so much, and we'll see you soon.
All right, Paul, don't touch that snake.
I already did. Too late.
Oh, gosh. Run. Run.
Yes. Anyway,
all right, buddy.
I'll try. That's Mike White of the Post, because that's a Matt. This snake that we have here, what kind of snake is it? And
she's a red-tailed boa. Her name is Rexy.
A red tail, how tall, I mean, how long is she?
If she ever, like, fully unclenches, she's, like, 9-10 feet, so. Snakes are normally tense, so that they don't ever fully stretch out. She's like, somewhere between 35 and 40 pounds.
So if they, is that how big she's going to be?
Yeah, she's full grown.
Full grown snake. The head on this thing is amazing.
Yeah.
How big the head of on that snake is. Now, are they, seems like she's pretty peaceful. I had her around my neck, and I was thinking...
Yeah, she's really calm. Now, the other two snakes that are on exhibit, we have a whole bunch of controlled contact snakes we get out and carry around. But the other two snakes that are on exhibit, you can't really handle them. They're not nice at all.
How about this one?
Oh, she's a sweetheart.
Yeah, because I was going to say, she just seems pretty peaceful and just chilling there. You know, it's amazing, really. If I'm looking at this thing, I'm like, that's... So, like, if you were walking in the woods somewhere in...
Columbia.
In Colombia.
Yep.
And came across one of those things.
Yep.
Now, in the wild, are they mean or no?
They can be. They're normally high up in trees.
Yeah.
So you probably wouldn't walk across one. They might fall on you, but that's about it.
Now, are they the kind that would squeeze you?
Yeah, she's full-on boa constrictor.
Oh, wow. But she doesn't...
No. Most snakes generally won't squeeze down on something they don't intend on eating. So... That's like they always make the joke about like when you have a pet snake and it lays beside you to see if it's big enough to eat you yet. Like, it is a joke, but that is the truth. Like, they really won't strike at you unless or like clench down on you unless they're actually going to eat you.
Oh, okay, well that's a very interesting fact. I'm not sure if that makes me feel better or worse, but I did have it around my neck for a few minutes.
Well, just keep in mind we're both of the bigger variety of men here, so it takes a bigger snake to.
Yes.
Yes. So.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Hey, fantasy football owners. Anybody can tell you what a good fantasy quarterback looks like, but it's the receivers that make or break your team. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive into the position that matters most, wide receivers. From the route trees to who plays better in man or zone, we provide the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.